Chapter 3. I spent the day drifting around on the breeze and checking everything I had learned in the last couple of weeks. See, we knew the Yerk Pool was a gigantic underground complex beneath the school. We knew it extended at least as far as the mall, but we had never figured out where all the entrances and exits were. That's what I'd been doing with my days, following people we knew were controllers, watching them come and go. From them, I learned the extent of the Yerk Pool. Maybe I should back up and explain. I know you're probably someone living a nice, normal life. You go to school, hang out with your friends, have dinner with your family, watch a little TV. Normal. And if I told you that maybe your teachers aren't really your teachers anymore, and maybe your friends aren't really your friends at all, and maybe even your parents have become something totally different, well, you might think I was nuts. I understand. You wouldn't believe how often I have these dreams that maybe none of it's real. That there is no Yerk invasion. That Yerk slugs are not inside the heads of so many people. That maybe I have my own hands and toes. It all started when Jake, Cassie, Marco, Rachel, and I took a different way home from the mall. In a dark, eerie, abandoned construction site, we saw the spaceship land. And we met the strange, part deer, part scorpion, part humanoid creature called an Andalite. His name was Elfangor. Much later, we found out he was Axe's big brother. He told us about the Yerks, the race of parasitic slugs. The Yerks, who, like some awful galactic disease, are spreading secretly from planet to planet. They steal bodies. They make other creatures into controllers, absolute slaves. The entire Hork-Bajir race has been enslaved, as well as the incredibly gross taxons, although they went along voluntarily. They've gotten the Geds and other races, too. And now, it's our turn. They are here. The Yerks are among us. Inside the people you least suspect. Cops. Teachers, friends, parents, reporters, pastors and priests, your own brothers and sisters. The Andalite Prince Elfangor warned us, and he gave us the weapon, the power to morph, to become any animal we could touch and acquire. There was just one big drawback, see? You can't stay in a morph for more than 2 hours. After that, you stay in morph forever. That's what happened to me. The Yerks also have a weakness. Every 3 days, they have to return to the Yerk Pool. They drain out of the heads of their host bodies and swim in the sludgy liquid of the pool. There, they soak up the chondrona rays that they must have for nutrition. We've been to the Yerk Pool. It's not a place you want to see, trust me. The screams that we'd heard in that place will be with me forever. The Yerk Pool was where I lost my humanity, where I passed the fateful 2-hour time limit. Someday, somehow, we will destroy that place. But first, we have to understand it better. That's what I was doing. That's why I spent my days trying to discover every possible way in and out of it. I was in the air over the mall at just about 2:30 in the afternoon when I spotted the big, bald eagle floating, serene and powerful, on the thermals. The brown body stood out against the clouds, while the white head seemed almost invisible. It was an odd place for a baldy. They usually like the shore. I flapped hard to change direction and gain speed toward the eagle. I knew this eagle. "Is that you, Rachel?" I asked.
"Sure! Who else would it be? Is this great flying weather or what?"
"It's perfect. You up for a little cruise?"
"Of course. What's up?"
"Well, while you and the others have been off saving the world, I've been busy too." I shot by, just beneath Rachel's big eagle wings, and swung out past her, then turned and moved in front of her. I was showing off. I'm more agile in the air than a bald eagle is. Although a baldy is quite a bit bigger than me. Kind of like comparing a turkey to a chicken. Rachel made a sighing sound in my head.
"Don't Tobias, just because you can't come along on every single mission doesn't mean you need to do extra work.
Yeah, well, whatever, I said. The point is, I've been watching known controllers from the air. I started with Chapman and his wife, and the reporter and the policewoman we know about. And Tom, of course. Chapman is our assistant principal. He's a very big deal controller. Tom is Jake's brother. He's a controller, too. I followed them and watched them, and now I've found four separate ways into the Yerk Pool, besides the one we know that goes through the mall.
Cool! When we know the Yerk Pool entrances, we can start figuring out who more controllers are.
Rachel sounded impressed, even though all I'd done was fly around and keep my eyes open. I have a lot of free time, I said. I knew I shouldn't say what I was about to say next, but it was out before I could stop myself. So, congratulations, I guess, huh? Packard Foundation Outstanding Student. Rachel was silent for a few seconds.
Did someone tell you? No, of course not. You saw the letter in my notebook.
Just call me old Hawkeye, I said lightly.
Tobias, you know how much I wish you could come. I mean, Cassie will be there, and she's great. But you know Marco would just be making snide remarks, and Jake will be trying not to laugh.
No big deal, I said. The only thing is, don't hide stuff from me because you think it will hurt my feelings, okay? I can't handle you feeling sorry for me.
I don't feel sorry for you, Rachel lied.
Good. Because, you know, how you think about me is sort of important. I winced. I'd sounded way too sincere. I mean, what was I thinking? Rachel's a human. A real human. I'm a hawk. You think Romeo and Juliet were doomed just from being from families that didn't like each other? Well, you can't get any more doomed than caring for someone who isn't even the same species. Anyway, congratulations, I said as breezily as I could. Now, follow me, and I'll give you a little tour of the Yerk Pool entrances.
On a day like this, I'd follow you anywhere, Rachel said.